Osama bin Laden is dead, but the organization he founded is still very much alive and kicking, even after the major political shakeups that have changed much of the Middle East. Today, al-Qaeda has transformed itself into a far-flung but still powerful entity that continues to pose a major threat. And we're joined now by journalist Abdel Bari Atwan. His book is called After Bin Laden, Al-Qaeda, the Next Generation. It's published by the New Press. Very pleased to welcome him to our program today. Hello.
Hi.
And we're speaking to you from Dubai, and maybe there'll be a little lag in the phone connection, so there may be some pauses. I am alerting our audience to that. Does the Al-Qaeda of today look anything like the Al-Qaeda which attacked the United States on 9/11?
It is completely different. Al-Qaeda was transformed recently. It is more lethal, more dangerous than it used to be before 11th of September 2001. When I say it is more lethal, it's more dangerous because if you look at the situation, Al-Qaeda, it is not as it used to be a pyramid-built organization. It is now decentralized, a flat, loose organization. And before 11th of September, we used to have one address of Al-Qaeda, which is Kandahar in Afghanistan. Now, we have different branches. We have Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. We have Al-Qaeda in Iraq. We have Al-Qaeda in Yemen. We have Al-Qaeda in Somalia. We have Al-Qaeda now in Syria, which is expanding. We have Al-Qaeda in North Maghreb, Al-Qaeda in Libya, Al-Qaeda in the desert of Africa, the Sahel area. So it is more than one Al-Qaeda, and each of them are independent, and it has a special field commanders, young generation, very dangerous. So I believe Al-Qaeda now is maybe 10 times, you know, more dangerous than it used to be, say, 10 years ago or 11 years ago.
But hasn't the nature of the threat Al-Qaeda poses changed? It's less likely to attempt a large-scale action in the West like 9/11 or the bombings in Madrid and London.
Maybe they don't have the capabilities, actually, to carry out attacks like the attacks against the World Trade Center in 2001. Why? Because now the security measure is very tight in the airports, in the seaports, and also on the ground. The intelligence service are very efficient or more efficient because they are aware of Al-Qaeda. But saying that, still Al-Qaeda is very dangerous because, you know, they are on the other side of the Mediterranean, in North Maghreb, in North Africa. They are still very dangerous when it comes to the east of the Mediterranean. In Syria now, they are building new bases, and they got a very sophisticated weapon. The same thing in sub-Sahara in Africa. They managed to put their hands on a huge arsenal of weapons left by Colonel Gaddafi regime when it was removed by the NATO bombardment. So you can say they are still dangerous, but we don't know when they are going to attack. This is very, very very difficult to predict or to decide where they will attack next time.
Now, what about its message? Has that changed, or its stated mission?
The message may be more vigorous now, more dangerous now. They would like first to establish Islamic states on the most of Muslim worlds. And second, they would like the second step or the major goal is to establish the Islamic Caliphate, to revive the Islamic Empire again. So that's the short-term goal is, as I said, to change the regimes, establish Islamic regimes, apply the Sharia law, and then if they manage to do so, to unify the Muslim world under Islamic Empire. That's how they are planning, and this is the long-term plan for them.
Now, what's happening with the central al-Qaeda that's headed by Ayman al-Zawahiri? How much of the al-Qaeda activities are initiated and directed by it?
Well, actually, the role of Ayman al-Zawahiri is actually decreasing now. It is much, much weaker than the role of his boss, Osama bin Laden. Why? Because Osama bin Laden got the charisma. He was adored by his followers. Ayman al-Zawahiri used to live actually in his shade. He is not actually somebody who is trying to attract the support of all Al-Qaeda branches. I think he's isolated. He is hiding somewhere. He's caring more about his personal safety than running the organization. But still, he's still like a father figure, a godfather figure, actually, for Al-Qaeda. He's still trying to play some sort of a media role between now and then, issue some sort of a communique. So, but the man is not actually in full control of Al-Qaeda like his boss, Osama bin Laden.
Are the branches coordinating with each other?
Yes,
do they have the same ideological goals?
Yes, they do. They have the same ideological goal. They have the same legacy of Osama bin Laden. They have the same aim, as I said, to create or to topple the Islamic regimes now and replace them with more radical regimes like the one in Taliban in Afghanistan. So the goal is the same. The practice could be different. Until now, we haven't seen Al-Qaeda branches trying to export their venom outside their bases in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Yemen, in North Maghreb. So we don't know whether this coordination will be developed in the future so they can pursue the same attacks, the same tactics of the founder of Al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden. And we have to remember that, you know, he was looking at the United States, attacking the United States. Until now, there is no sign they are capable of actually crossing the border or crossing the ocean, actually, to reach some sort of American interest on the mainland.
On the other hand, in your assessment, has the United States kind of played into the organization's hands by invading and occupying countries like Iraq and Afghanistan?
You are absolutely right. I believe the great recruiter to Al-Qaeda ranks is the United States foreign policy, the United States intervention. In 2001, after 11th of September, 85% of Al-Qaeda infrastructure was destroyed completely by the American bombardment, the B-52, the other. But the invasion of Iraq actually gave a huge gift to Al-Qaeda. So by turning Iraq as a failed state, United States inviting Al-Qaeda to set up bases in Iraq. And we know that they managed to regroup again in Iraq and to regroup again in Afghanistan after the Taliban gaining strength and started to threaten United States forces in Afghanistan. So, and now the NATO intervention in Libya again created a very safe haven to Al-Qaeda. The Al-Qaeda people managed to find a huge arsenal of sophisticated weapons, anti-aircraft missiles, anti-tanks missiles, a lot of cannons, a lot of guns, so a lot of ammunition. So that's why they managed to control most of Mali because of this. So yes, you're not, even in Syria now, the intervention, the indirect intervention of the West in Syria, again, encouraged Al-Qaeda to go and set up bases there. It is true the American put the Ansar, the Jabhat al-Nusra, which is the major Al-Qaeda organization in Syria. It is true it was put on the terrorist list. But despite that, they managed to regroup, they managed to recruit a lot of local people, a lot of young Syrian people, hot-headed young people. So they could be extremely dangerous in the coming future.
My guest is Abdel Bari Atwan, the editor-in-chief of the London-based newspaper Al-Quds Al-Arabi. After bin Laden, Al-Qaeda, the Next Generation is his latest book. It's published by the New Press. And you spoke... you interviewed Osama bin Laden. Do you think he welcomed the U.S. invasions? Because didn't he get started because of the war against Iraq with the U.S. troops stationed in Saudi Arabia? He seemed to have been outraged by the fact that that was happening. And that was the beginning of his thinking about against the United States, wasn't it?
You know, Osama bin Laden, in the beginning, he was concerned about the arrival of half a million American soldiers in Saudi Arabia. He did not want to see foreign troops in his own country. So he decided to fight the American the way he fought the Soviet in Afghanistan. So he did not thought of actually attacking even the United States. He wanted to attack the American troops inside Saudi Arabia. So, and he did not think in that time of the Islamic Caliphate. But the introduction of Ayman al-Zawahiri, the second man in command, he convinced him that he should look higher. He should, you know, have a very long-term goal is to establish the Islamic Caliphate. Anyway, Osama bin Laden told me personally when I interviewed him in November 1996, he cannot fight the United States on the mainland. But if he succeed in dragging the American, trap them to fight a war in the Middle East, in Muslim countries, in Arab countries, yes, he can actually defeat them. And that's what happened. He was so pleased when the American invaded Iraq and occupied Iraq. And he managed to send his people there. And you know that America lost about $1 trillion in Iraq. And he claimed that the meltdown, the economic meltdown, which took place in the West, or started actually to take place in the West, it was because of the American invasion of Iraq. And maybe if he is still alive, he would be extremely happy because of the NATO intervention in Libya.
Well, it sure added to the U.S. debt. What about the Arab Spring? Has al-Qaeda welcomed it? Because it has led to a diminishing of secular influence in some of these states and more power for Islamists.
You are absolutely right. Al-Qaeda were very happy when the Arab Spring removed a very secular regime like the Hosni Mubarak of Egypt, like, for example, Gaddafi of Libya, and could be soon Assad of Syria. These kind of secular regimes were removed. So it will encourage Islamic movement like Muslim Brotherhood to take over. But the most important things of the Arab Spring, Al-Qaeda was the main beneficiary of the Arab Spring. Why? Because most of the Arab Spring did not succeed in creating a solid rules in most of these countries. You have, if you look at Yemen, for example, okay, the Arab Spring managed to change Ali Abdullah Saleh regime, but Al-Qaeda gained more strength in Yemen. The same thing in Egypt. Okay, they removed Hosni Mubarak, but the Muslim Brotherhood who took over, they could not create stability. They could not maintain law and order. The same thing in Libya. Okay, you removed Colonel Gaddafi, who was a brutal dictator, but the country now is a semi-failed state. The same thing will happen in Syria. So wherever there is intervention, wherever there is Arab Spring, Al-Qaeda set up its bases there. They enjoy failed states. The failed state is the best environment for them to actually regroup, to build their bases, to recruit more people. So my theory is in this book that Al-Qaeda is stronger now after the Arab Spring, and they are the major organization which gained strength because of this.
The alternative, of course, is continuing to prop up Mubarak, to continuing to support the Assad regime in Syria. Are we caught in a bind here, the West?
Oh, yes, I believe so. I think the West now were dragged to the region. It is true, President Obama administration is very cautious. They don't want to intervene directly, but I think Mr. Kerry, the Secretary of State, when he visited the Middle East, he was convinced by the Saudi that America should help in arming the rebels in Syria, arming the opposition in Syria in order to topple Assad regime. I believe this could be extremely dangerous because there is no guarantee that these kind of weapons, the lethal weapons, the sophisticated one, would fall to the hands of Al-Qaeda organization in Syria. There are about 10 organizations there, like Al-Nusra Brigade, like the hawks of Sham, like the the Sharia supporter. So it is extremely messy now. So if these organizations put their hand on these sophisticated weapons, whether sent to them by Saudi Arabia or Qatar or the United States indirectly, if they got it, actually, they will use it for the final goal of Al-Qaeda, which is to set up an Islamic radical state in Syria.
And this is similar to what happened in Afghanistan, wasn't it, after the Soviets left?
Exactly. What happened after the Soviets left, okay, there were moderate elements there, but they failed to set up a good governance. Taliban took over, and they are actually adopting the same ideology like Al-Qaeda, and they managed to control about 85 to 90% of Afghanistan. And we know the story, Al-Qaeda with Taliban worked together, and they plotted the attacks of 11th of September. The same scenario could be repeated in Libya. The same scenario could be repeated in Syria.
How much of the funding for these groups comes from Saudi Arabia, which is a major U.S. ally?
We don't know, to be honest. This is a very clandestine operation, but definitely wealthy businessmen and wealthy families in Saudi Arabia are channeling a lot of funds to Al-Qaeda-affiliated organizations, like the one in Syria, for example, or the others in Libya and the Islamic sub-Sahara in Africa. So, yes, there are a lot of clandestine operations here. That's why these kind of branches of Al-Qaeda is actually gaining strength, especially in Syria and Libya. And these countries like Saudi Arabia, they indirectly supporting these organizations simply because they want to get rid of Bashar al-Assad, the way they wanted to get rid of Saddam Hussein. So and when it comes to Saddam Hussein, they managed to find the American willing to invade Iraq, to occupy it, to dismantle the regime. The same thing now, they sense that the Americans should intervene in Syria in order to topple Assad regime, whether directly or indirectly. This could be extremely dangerous. They want to take revenge from Assad. They are scared of President Assad to survive this kind of revolution and then turn against them. So the major worry, not the stability of Syria after Assad, the major worry is, to get rid of Assad, who is a very, very arch enemy of them.
It was reported today that bin Laden's spokesman and son-in-law has been captured by U.S. law enforcement. That's unusual these days, isn't it? Mostly people have been killed by drone attacks.
Oh, yes. He managed to survive, actually, after the 11th of September. He took refuge in Iran. He crossed the border to Iran, and he was put in some sort of a camp there. And also several sons and daughters and granddaughters of Osama bin Laden took refuge in Iran. So he decided to go back to his own country when his name was lifted from the terrorist list of United Nations. He went to Turkey, and the Turkish government actually let him go because there is no conviction against him. And he tried to take the plane from Jordan to Kuwait, his country. And it seems it was a plan or a plot to capture him by the CIA or by other American intelligence services. So I think he was trapped. Turkey did not want to surrender him directly to the United States because they were scared that there could be some attacks to revenge his surrender or his extradition. So they let him go, and it seems they whispered to the American and say, oh, look, okay, he's in Jordan, you can go and capture him. And that's what happened.
We have very little time left, but maybe you have a theory as to whether the Pakistani government or elements within the Pakistani government knew that Osama bin Laden was there and protected him.
Well, actually, yes. I'm really suspicious about many information we had about his assassination or his death. Definitely the Pakistani government would know by all means that there is a strange man living in Abbottabad house there. So maybe they did hide the news from the United States, from the government there, simply because we know that the Pakistani government were supporting Taliban all the way. So I'm not surprised if there is a deal, not by between Osama bin Laden and the government itself. No, maybe some of these intelligence services inside the Pakistani government struck such deal to protect Osama bin Laden, to keep him there. But I can't believe, he spent about say, 10 years hiding, and the Pakistani government, the Pakistani ISI, the intelligence service would not know about him. I'm sure they know that there is a mysterious man living in that part near one of these military college in that area.
Abdul Bari Atwan, his latest book, After Bin Laden, Al-Qaeda, The Next Generation. The book is published by the New Press, and I suspect we will never see another supreme leader of that sort of Osama bin Laden for Al-Qaeda. Unfortunately, I got to leave it there. Thank you so much for talking with us.